It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Well, here we are. That came fast. We're back already, and we have another exciting and interesting show, I promise. So stay tuned, but no, don't stay tuned. Let's get right to business.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
I don't want to hold you back, Scott, man. Go, Scott, go.
Well, Thursday broke a six-day losing streak on the
Dow. Yay! There, I do our sound effects, Lacey. You didn't even have to do it.
Yeah, we're happy about that. It wasn't a blockbuster day. The Dow up 20, NASDAQ... Let's call it flat, although it was down one, but we'll call it flat because we're glass half full people. S&P up 3.5, gold about flat, oil about flat. Oil's 96, so, you know, well inside 100. Hopefully it'll stay there or even keep going down.
Sweet Texas crude, come on down.
Yep, TEN's at 188. You know, stocks were pretty strong through most of the day on Thursday. They sold off late. Still some concerns about Europe, although I have to say the European zone governments agreed to make a billion euro payment. That's about $6.7 billion in emergency aid to Greece. So we've been talking about how things are different now because there's infrastructure to help save them. And I think that's a sign of that. Now there was opposition and there is by no means everybody wants to just throw money at Greece and continue this nonsense, but they're doing what they can to try to kind of ease them through.
Well, and $6 billion, which is an incredible amount of money, in the scheme of things, though, is not that much for them over there in terms of what they're trying to do. So it's almost, okay, well, let's give them a little of this and see if we can get them come to the table and try to, you know, get them to sit down and...
That's right. And they're still trying to form a coalition government, remember, because they just had their elections and they have to form this coalition government or they go through another election process.
Well, and the two highest that got votes was the far right and the far left.
Right. The far right has given up on their coalition. But the far left, now they failed once. They're back at it now. The leader of the far left, he's a very young guy. I think in his 40s. Looks like he's in his 40s.
That's very young.
Absolutely. He has said austerity is a non-starter for us. So if you, the European Commission, is going to tell us that we have to implement this austerity, forget it. You can take your bailout money and go on home. We don't want it. So we'll see how that plays out. But a fair amount of saber rattling there. Corporate news, some good news for News Corp, finally. You know, News Corp's been in the news for months and months and months now because of the phone hacking scandal and the Murdochs and the whole thing. They announced... really good, solid earnings on Thursday. Also announced a $5 billion stock buyback approval. Had a fair number of analysts raise their price target by as much as 10 or 15%. So good news there. Bad news for Cisco Systems, which I want to tell you a little bit about the Dow in a second here. But Cisco Systems, lousy earnings. Stock sold off about 10% on the day on Thursday. So it's about a $16 stock. It's in the Dow. Why it's in the Dow, I don't know. But it's in the Dow, and its impact on the Dow itself, just Cisco, was 15 points on the Dow today. So if no Cisco, then the Dow's up 35. With Cisco, it's up 15. But to me, it's not – the Dow is supposed to have the leading companies in the industries, and Cisco is not.
Well, the obvious problem is trying to swap these guys out and still have it be a Dow that you can say how much the Dow's up on a relative basis. But
well, and here's why things are so screwed up. Because if you're going to put a technology company in there that's a leader, which you're going to put in?
Well, Apple.
Apple, right. But if you put Apple in, if you had put Apple in at the beginning of the year, removed Cisco, the Dow is something like 1,500 points higher than it is today. That's how screwed up a price-weighted index is.
Yeah, I gotcha. And, you know, we probably should look. They should look at resetting these things once a year, but I don't know.
Well, they got to do something because Apple should definitely be in there, but there's no way they can put it in there at a $600 per share price because it's a price-weighted index. So the
which other indices is the Apple stock in?
Well, it's in the S&P, it's in the NASDAQ, but those aren't, they're not price-weighted, they're market cap-weighted.
Which takes into account the size of the company as opposed to the price.
Right. Okay. Plus, the Dow has only 30 stocks. S&P 500 has 500.
Well, even better would be equal weighted, not even
market
weighted.
Yeah, there are some equal weighted indices out there. But it's important to know that all these different ways of calculating indices have huge impacts on the way we perceive the market has done.
Well, let's move on before we lose anybody.
Okay. Chairman Bernanke is in the news on Thursday. He says that banks are lending more and more and more and more.
Amen to that.
Yeah, he says the balance sheets on banks have made considerable progress, his words, in shedding risk from balance sheets. A lot of that is because the Fed bought all their risk.
Bankers loosen up those ties.
Yeah, they're getting there. Still not on the mortgage side, but on the consumer credit side and on the business lending side. And then finally on Thursday, we always get the jobless claims number. It fell 1,000 to a seasonally adjusted 367,000. It only fell because they revised the previous months. But I think what the market was looking for was no disaster.
And they got it.
And they got no disaster. Okay. There are a total of 6.42 million people claiming unemployment benefits as of the week ending April 21st.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, those are just the ones claiming benefits. Those aren't the totality of the unemployed.
Where are we at? 12 million? 13 million?
Yeah, right in there somewhere.
Good grief. All right.
That's
it?
That's it.
All right, Scott. Well, you're on time today.
Yeah,
thank
you.
I
just blew right through it.
All right, and I'll look forward to... I know you're working on a special report for us, drilling down, no pun intended, on Chesapeake. So we'll look forward to...
Yeah, there is some big news coming from Chesapeake,
we'll
and it is
forward
not
to report.
Pleasant.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll look forward to a report. And then I have a special guest on the show today, John Cruz, who will be joining us right after the break, World Banking, World Fraud, and Using Your Identity. You got to hear about this, folks. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and I have a special treat for you. Joining me, calling in to the station, calling into the Holland Financial Studio, we have Mr. John Cruz, who is an author of World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity. John, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is going to be interesting. We're going to get your volume up a little bit, Lisa, for John. Oh, he's at the max. All right, John, if you can speak up a little bit. We got you maxed out on our end. And
okay.
There we go. And so, John, tell people your story. You are what's called a, would we call you a whistleblower? Is that the right term?
I do believe, yes, that is the right term. I am a whistleblower.
All right. Well, tell us what happened. This is an amazing story, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I was working at the bank, relationship manager, and I started uncovering suspicious activities taking place. And I would report it to my managers, to executives, senior security, all of which stated that this was money laundering. I mean, I reported it to law enforcement. They stated that this was drug money, terrorist money. It was mind-boggling. Hundreds of millions of dollars going through the system, billions of dollars. It's just amazing. And That's when my life really changed.
I'll bet it did. That's an amazing story. You basically called the bank out on it and said, look, this is what I see. And then what happened next?
Well, I called the bank out on it, and then they started writing me up for a job performance. They basically told me I was crazy, didn't know what I was talking about. Until after keep finding it, it was like every day, more accounts. And a lot of the accounts was concerns the public a lot. It was using the public's identity as to where an attorney has escrow accounts or trust funds for your kids. The bank would use those identities to launder money through them. It's amazing.
So here you have an account that you think is safe at the bank. And I know for, a couple different reasons, we won't mention the name of the bank, but this bank is currently being investigated at a very, can we say, high level? Is that a fair way to put it?
It's very fair, because this bank is under a cease and desist where they're not even allowed to open business accounts unless they get investigated upon by law enforcement.
Wow.
Where this is the first time a bank has still remained open and still being investigated for these criminal acts. Why is this bank still open? I don't understand why.
But this is, again, we're not going to talk about who the bank is, but this is not a small bank. This is a big bank.
This is a multi-trillion dollar bank.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is just extraordinary. This is John Cruz, who is an author and what we call a whistleblower, and this is a whistleblower in a good way. He's written a book, World Banking, World Fraud. John's website is worldbankingworldfraud.com, and his book is available on Amazon, and I can tell you I'm going to be reading it because I think this is a fascinating story. John, we're going to take a quick break. I want you to hang on the line, and we'll come right back and get more of this story. Stay tuned.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the program. I have John Cruz, author of World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity. And John, what you're talking about is the bank using your identity to potentially launder money and do other bad behavior.
Well, yes, launder money, drugs, terrorist money. I mean, the money has to be put back into the system, even though it is laundered money, and you need a bank to do it. The bank controls the money throughout the world. But this bank is located all around the world, so what better bank to use than a bank like this to launder money? But you can't just launder it in one person's name. You need to trickle effect it into the system and put it through multiple countries. So why not use the public's identity to do this?
Absolutely. Most of us, and of course I've done my own writing of books, and one of my books is How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams, and I tell people, I'm not embarrassed to say, John, I've told him in a book, the three places you can hide from the scammers out there are your brokerage accounts. There are security measures, insurance companies, and banks. But what you're telling me is that promise of security is only as good as the bank reputation and how well they run that bank.
That is correct.
Wow. Okay, I've got a new perspective on the world of finance, and here I thought I was learning a lot about the world of finance, John. This is fascinating. So you left the bank. You reported this to law enforcement?
That is correct.
And then this has been a subject of an ongoing investigation. I pulled up something here on the internet and looked, and this is still something that is being investigated, and we're talking about trillions of dollars. So here's the question our listeners are sitting here wondering as they're listening to you and I talk about this. What can everyday people do to make sure that they don't get mixed up in something that, could affect them both in terms of criminal activity or just the safety of their money?
Number one, never, ever, ever do banking of any what kind with an international bank.
Okay, that's pretty simple. So when you when somebody banks, then they need to be banking with a, you know, a straight up American bank. Now, which does that mean maybe they want somebody that's a smaller local bank or a regional bank or even maybe a credit union?
They want to deal with their local small bank. They want to deal with their credit union. That's who they want to deal with.
Because it's a more self-contained business.
Yes.
Okay, so you don't have a you know, international tentacles all over the world.
So once you give your identity to an international bank, your identity is given out to whatever country they're in. Their employees can look you up, and who's to say that in another country that part of the bank is not owned by an illegal enterprise?
Wow. So you could have a bank that's overseas and, you know, what kind of quality control there is, what kind of security control, and there's all your information, all of the key information somebody needs. Is there, there's obviously also a risk of loss of control over your identity and the identity theft.
Yeah. Huge risk. Never, wow. Ever go online and input your name with your date of birth with your address. You can put that into a system, and I can be online. And how do you know if you're not talking to somebody at your local bank or it's a hacker in another country stealing your identity, and just by your name, your address, and your date of birth, they can get your Social Security, they can get your driver's license, they can get your VIN numbers to your cars, everything, just by going online and giving them your name and your address and date of birth.
Well, we do business with and have had local banks on, so they'll appreciate this perspective, I think, for their what they're trying to do. And I like the idea of dealing with people that I can reach out and I can touch, and being able to work with a local bank has always been comforting to me. And I do that in terms of my own business. But this is a very different perspective, John, that people, I think, need to have. So they don't work with the international bank. They work with a local bank. Anything else that you would say or things to look out for or things that they should be monitoring to kind of keep on the lookout just to make sure that even if it's a local bank, they could obviously still, if they wanted to, still get tangled up with things. What are some things to keep on guard?
Well, things to guard is your credit. On every credit card, have it to where your credit card company will email you your balance if any activity that takes place when it occurs. You know instantly. I mean, I set it up all the time with my credit card that I get balances every day, sometimes three times a day if I'm doing transactions, and I get notified when my account's being used.
And that's something that the credit card companies can let you sign up for?
Yes, they can.
Okay,
most of those services are free.
That's a good idea, because then you can, I mean, especially with, you know, the iPhones and smartphones and all of that, you know, the technology is there to let you know and let you check. So your recommendation is to literally to stay on top of transactions on a daily basis. Okay.
Constantly.
I can't disagree with that. Okay. We have John Cruz, who is has been a whistleblower for the fraud and laundering being perpetrated by an international bank. And he's written the book World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity, which is what the bank is has been known to do. WorldBankingWorldFraud.com is John's website. John, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for more from John. This is fascinating.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back. John Cruz is with me on the phone. World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity's book. Website by the same, worldbankingworldfraud.com. And John has been sharing with us some of the things that he has really gotten a firsthand, first-class experience in terms of what can go wrong in dealing with an international bank, both in terms of being an employee of the bank, but also in how we have that relationship with the bank for our finances. John, one of the things I thought might be interesting, let's kind of jump back into your uncovering and calling the bank out on this very bad behavior. One of the things that you saw was that you know, in the process, you saw your notary stamp being used on some bogus loans. Talk about that.
Well, when I was in the branch, I don't know about my notice stamp being used. I know it was stolen. I was told that it was being used.
Wow.
So I immediately reported it to law enforcement. I reported it to my manager. Again, my manager just told me I was crazy. And so I told him I was going to the law enforcement with it, and he was just said, I don't care what you do, but you do not talk about anything about the bank to law enforcement. I said, well, when they ask me questions, I will say what I have to say.
Sounds like they wanted to put a lid on it pretty quick.
Oh yeah. The bank does not want any just coming up. But you know something? People need to know.
Well, here's what really strikes me, and I'll ask you to kind of speak up a little bit, John, because we've got you on the max. Is what really strikes me is the audacity or the arrogance of, and of course, I don't have the ability to verify the things that you're saying, but if these things are true, which I believe, you know, you're sharing me as a truth, how in the world how do they think they're going to get away with it? I guess that's my question. That's the fundamental question, is how does a bank or any financial institution think they're going to get away with behavior like this?
When a financial institution is as big as this institution is, they pay fines. But those fines are the cost of doing business.
Okay.
According to the bank's own auditors, they keep $2 billion plus on the side to pay law enforcement. That's the cost of doing business. And if it's only $2 billion, whatever it is, and the bank is making $30-40 billion, you know, it's less than 10%. I don't think they're that worried about it.
That's extraordinary. Okay, so it's I guess if you get big enough, you get brazen, you get bold, and you don't really worry about something like that. I guess I think this is the subject of the ongoing investigation that we talked about, is that, you know, I guess they can get away with it by being able to have enough cash to pay whatever fines may come their way, as long as they're not shut down. And I guess that's really probably what the investigation's all about.
Well, when a finance institution becomes as big as this institution is, shutting them down would disrupt trade around the world. It would disrupt money transfers around the world. It would be a huge effect around the world. But there's also common sense. You need to do what's right. And I truly believe you need to shut this bank down.
Well, so we're not talking about too big to fail. We're talking about too big to have somebody pull the plug. It's like having some computer that, you know, some sort of futuristic sci-fi, Skynet, Terminator, you try to pull the plug and you pull the plug and it keeps on grinning at you.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'll give you an example. I got a call just a couple hours ago from another country. A legal team wanting to meet with me to discuss this bank with them, because of all the illegal activities they found was supposed to be fixed, but according to my records, they were never fixed. So they wanted to discuss this whole situation with me. So
wow.
I'm referring them to my attorney.
Oh, my gosh.
Another country where they're doing similar activities.
So I think the thing for our listeners to take from this, John, is that, first of all, if they want an interesting read, they need to read your book, WorldBankingWorldFraud.com, and then also get it from Amazon. But what are some of the other things you're about to say that they can take from this?
Well, they're going to learn how life works in the real financial world, where what people do with information when they receive it and what they can do to really hurt you. It goes into depth on how I have tape recordings of law enforcement, to managers, to tellers, to everything. And there are a lot in the book of the different verbiages that people use as they're talking and how they admit to doing things and how things are covered up. So you're just going into a bank and a World Bank and sitting there with a teller with you or sitting there talking to a business representative. But what happens with all that information once that person receives it is mind-boggling to a person. You would never imagine what would happen with all that stuff and where it goes.
You use the right words, John. You're boggling my mind with this. This is a pretty amazing thing. We've got John Cruz, author, on the phone with us. John, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and I want to get to a couple more things. So stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Okay, John, we're back. And ladies and gentlemen, I have John Cruise on the line with me. And he is an official whistleblower and has reported a bank that he worked for to the authorities, the regulators, the investigative units out there in law enforcement, and even been contacted by law enforcement or investigators in other countries. Right, John?
Correct.
So for our listeners, we've got in our final break here, you know, you really found this to be a pretty nasty thing. And you know, we've had people come on. I've had a local identity theft gentleman come on and talk to us about the need to protect yourself. And so obviously you're giving a real life example of this. And one of the things this other expert has shared with us is it's not really a matter of if, but it's a matter of when, because of the sheer volume of identity theft that is occurring. Do you think it's really avoidable? Can we really avoid identity theft, or would you agree with that it's just a matter of time?
It is a matter of time. And the main point in identity theft and preventing identity theft is finding out when it happened as soon as possible to stop it.
And that's where the whole idea is of monitoring your transactions. You know, here we are as consumers thinking we're doing a good job by actually looking at our credit card statements and checking to see if everything is ours. But it goes a lot beyond that. You're saying really we need to be looking at those transactions on a daily basis, and also our banking transactions?
Yes, usually your banking transaction. And I'll let you know, when I was in the credit unions, working in credit unions, I would run statistics on individuals that would monitor their bank accounts or look at their statements. And it's mind-boggling that over 70% of the population did not look at their bank statement when they got it.
Wow. Well, and I'm sure we didn't just say something that the identity thieves don't already know. They know that, right? And they prey on that?
They monitor it more than law enforcement monitors it.
You know, I had a quote the other day that the director of the FBI was talking about the hacking going on into computers, and he pretty much said, we're losing.
Oh, without a doubt.
All right. Well, this will not go down, John, as our most uplifting show, but I don't think that's the purpose of today's discussion with you. I think it's a reality check. We have John Cruise on the phone. He has been on the inside and has seen rather bad behavior committed by an international bank, which he's reported, and then in his own words, got fired for doing that. And so the lesson to learn from John's very difficult experience is that we need to do everything we can to protect our identity. Look at those bank statements, look at those credit card statements, and to have some sort of identity theft protection. And it's not just protecting the identity, it's also the restoration, fixing it, right? I mean, if somebody loses their identity or has somebody steal it, there's a lot of work involved with restoring where you are, right?
That is correct, and the proof is upon you to prove that you didn't commit any of that identity theft that was stolen from you. And the other situation is, as far as you're saying identity theft, if you ever read news about Social Security numbers and everything, even before a child is born, the Social Security number is given to them, that Social Security number is more than likely been used.
Wow.
Identity theft hackers. That's how bad it's getting.
Well, we're going to have to do everything we can. John, we're out of time. You've given us a good, fresh, I won't say smack in the face, but a good wake-up call. Thank you for that. John Cruise, author. I appreciate it. World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity is the book. WorldBankingWorldFraud.com is John's website, and his book's available on Amazon. John, thank you very much for being on the program.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at RealMoneyRadio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.